Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Welcome to this celebration of Holy Mother's birthday. This is her birthday puja. We're so delighted to offer this puja, of course, and to be our pujari, as many of you are, know Dhruva. Dhruva was with the Ramakrishna Order for 9 years, seven of them in India. He was trained in puja by the senior people at the temple at Bellarmont. So he's very knowledgeable and capable. We're so glad to have him be our pujari. And I'll open this celebration with something called Bhakta's Prayer. Oh Ma, take my hand. Without thee I may fall. Without thee I may fall. Oh Ma, pull me on. Oh Ma, pull me on. Without thee I may fall. Without thee I may fall. Oh Ma, take my hand. Oh Ma, pull me on. Without thee I may fall. Without thee I may fall. Oh Ma, draw me near. Oh Ma, draw me near. Without thee I may fall. Without thee I may fall. Thou art my all in all. Without thee I may fall. O Lord, take my hand. O Ma, pull me on. O Ma, draw me near. Thou art my all in all. Thou art my all in all. Without thee I may fall. O Ma, fill this heart. Oh Ma, fill this heart. Thou art my all in all. Thou art my all in all. Without thee I may fall. O Lord, take my hand. Oh Ma, take my hand. Without thee I may fall. Oh Ma, pull me on. Oh Ma, pull me on. Without thee I may fall. Oh Ma, draw me near. Oh Ma, draw me near. Without thee I may fall. Thou art my all in all. Without thee I may fall. Oh Ma, fill this heart. Oh Ma, fill this heart. Thou art my all in all. Thou art my all in all. Without thee I may fall. Om Amen. Shanti, shanti.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Thank you so much for this opportunity that I have to join with you and do the puja of our Holy Mother, Sharada Devi. It's customary just to always begin with a prayer, so this is a very short and beautiful salutation to the Holy Mother. Om Janani Sharadam Devi Ramakrishna Jagat Guru Parapadme Tayo Shritva Pranamami shelter at the blessed feet of Holy Mother and Sri Ramakrishna, and we bow down to them again and again. This prayer starts with Janani Mother Sharadam, the actual name of the Holy Mother, which is also the name of the goddess Saraswati and Devi, and that covers a lot of territory. So I'm going to try to not attempt the task of trying to say who the mother is. I'm going to instead focus on what she does while she was alive and what she is still doing now. And I guess I would ask you a question. How many people would think Holy Mother is a Mahatma? How many think she's not a Mahatma? Nobody. Well, it was a trick question. Let's find out from Sri Krishna. He's the one that talks about Mahatmas. He mentions Mahatma about 5 or 6 times in the Gita. And on one occasion, he actually tells us what a Mahatma is. It's just 3 things. He says, Bhavunam Janmanam Ante. When you come to the end of many, many births, that's the first thing. Second thing is, Nirvana, you acquire wisdom. Those 2 things are connected. It is the acquisition of wisdom that leads you to your final birth, not having to be born again. And what is the proof that you actually reached this stage? The third thing is, Mam, me, Krishna, prapadyate. You surrender yourself at the Lord's feet. So that is a Mahatma, according to the Sri Krishna. Now let's look at Holy Mother. Did she have to be born many, many times so that this was her last birth? No. Sri Ramakrishna said she was Nitya Siddha, ever perfect. So she wasn't like ordinary mortals like us who are going through many births and finally coming to a final birth. The second part of the Mahatma is Gnanavan. Does she acquire knowledge? Sri Ramakrishna said she is the goddess Saraswati. And we may recall one time when there were a bunch of women devotees with Thakur in his room at Dakshineswar. And Holy Mother was kind of tired, and it was after lunch, so she was lying down taking a little rest. And Sri Ramakrishna was having wonderful spiritual talks. And the lady said, Sir, shouldn't we wake up Sharada so she can hear these wonderful things you're saying? And he said, No, let her sleep, because if she hears these things, she will fly far away very quickly. So the acquisition of knowledge was not another thing that I guess Goddess Saraswati has to pursue. She's the embodiment of knowledge. And finally, Mam Prapadyate, take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Well, let's go forward about 20 years when she's living in Calcutta at the Udbodhan. What do we see there? The men are only allowed to come and see her on Tuesdays and Thursdays. There's one staircase going up on the left, and then Holy Mother is standing there. She's completely covered with her sari, and the only thing you can see are her feet. And so people bow down at her feet, and then they went down another stairway. So she is not the one that had to take shelter at the feet of Krishna. Everybody was taking shelter at her feet. So what we're saying here is Mahatma is too low. We have to aim a lot higher. It would be like asking if Eisenhower was a captain or a colonel. No, he was a 4-star general. He was the commander-in-chief. So, Holy Mother, we can apply labels, we can call her a goddess and Saraswati, but we're never going to get to the who she really was. But she did have, she gave herself away a number of times. And to tell you what she said about herself, I have to tell you what I think is one of her absolutely unique qualities that I don't find in anybody else, any other saint. And I would take this, what I have to say comes not from the life of Holy Mother, but it comes from a book called Maya Kata, The Words of the Mother. And this is 2 things. It's her own words and also the memoirs of the reminiscences of her devotees. And what we notice in this is that constantly there was a young married Bengali woman, her name was Sarayu Bala, and she had over 100 pages of memoirs. And from the very first moment she met the mother, if she was hot, the mother would take her, tell her to take her upper cloth off, and the Holy Mother herself would fan her. On another occasion, when she bowed down to the mother, her hair was wet, so the Holy Mother wanted to have her take off her sari and wear the Holy Mother's, and the girl said, "No, my husband gave me his raincoat, so it's only my hair that's a little bit damp." But we notice at the end of the meeting, people will be, their eyes would fill with tears when it came time to leave. And they noticed that the Holy Mother's eyes would fill with tears at the same time. It was sort of a sympathetic thing. And one of the monks finally, he asked her, in the evening after the arati, he would sit with her and answer the mail. And so he said, "Mother, why is everybody crying around here?" And the Holy Mother, she thought about it. She didn't always answer very quickly, and she thought, and she thought, and she said, she coined two words. Prana means life. A prani is a living being. And so she said, a good person is a su prani. And then she said, Jehoi su prani, whoever is a good soul, for that person, the maha prani cries, sheds tears. Now, I pointed this out a couple of years ago, but I didn't really know what was happening. And so I've analyzed this a little bit more. And it's pointing to one of the things that Holy Mother does. And in order to understand this, let's take a simple concept like water. Water can exist as a solid, like an ice cube or an iceberg. It can then become a liquid, and the liquid can become a vapor or a gas. And Holy Mother was actually doing two things. She was turning the solid object, our hearts that are like ice cubes, she was melting them and turning them into the liquid. And only after she did that, she was going to be able to turn the liquid into the vapor. We'll get to how she did that later on. So that is what we're looking at here, is something completely hidden. Everybody know Mr. Rogers? It's a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood. Well, I read his life recently, and in the beginning of the book, it said something very interesting. He said there are three steps to achieve success in any undertaking. And he said the first step is to be nice, and the second step is to be nice, and the third step is to be nice. And this is actually what was happening with Holy Mother. She was so nice all the time that it overwhelmed people. Now, let's look at us. There's a movie called The Grinch. You may have heard. The Grinch had one problem. His heart was three sizes too small. So imagine if our heart, we can hold maybe 12 ounces. And if we're three sizes too small, then we're down to 8. And then finally we're down to 4 ounces. So we've got that little bit of niceness in us. And we go around and we pour out our little 4 ounces to people. And there's nothing left. Holy Mother, you may remember when she was 11 years old, she had this experience of the pitcher of bliss. She felt like she had a pitcher of bliss installed in her heart. But the key thing about that was it wasn't not that it was filled with bliss. It was what did she say besides it was a pitcher full of bliss? Full to overflowing. There's the difference. Full to overflowing. So that no matter how much she poured out of her kindness, it was overflowing because she was connected to the source. So it didn't run out like our little bit of niceness. We try to be nice. We fake friendly and all of that. But Holy Mother was really nice. It's that simple. Now, I would like to tell you a little bit, 5 anecdotes of Holy Mother with 5 of her sons. And I'm ranking them in order from the worst to the best. But I realize even while I'm doing this that it's stupid because for Holy Mother, they're all good. They're all the same. Nevertheless, because we see good and evil, we're going to present them in a certain order. These are all young men, about 20 years old, all college graduates, and it'd be interesting to notice Holy Mother only graduated from first or second grade. How are all these highly educated college graduates coming from her, and what is the wisdom of the goddess Saraswati that she's giving? So let's start with the first boy. We talk about the gunas. Well, this guy is off the chart, below the most tamasic, because something bad has happened in his life, and he has become an atheist. And once he's an atheist, anything goes, drinking, gambling, and all the other vices. And he had already been initiated by the Holy Mother, and he would keep seeing her at the Ubud, and the rest of the bhaktas were disgusted, and they said, "Mother, don't let him here. Don't you know what he does?" And she said, "Yes, I know what he does, but he's my son." So she never talked to him. She just looked at him with her eyes, sort of just pierced right into the inside of his heart. And so as he was engaging in his evil doing, he kept seeing the eyes of the mother lovingly gazing at him, just nice looking. And it was only a matter of a few years' time where he completely changed, and he became a highly devoted son. I need not mention that at that time he shed tears. The fourth boy is I labeled him tamasic, and that's really not fair of me to do that, but he came from the village next near Holy Mother, and he came from a very low caste called the Bhagis. Now, Holy Mother, remember when she went across that Telobelo field when she was young and she took refuge with the robbers? Well, those robbers, the robber and his wife that took care of her, they were also from that Bhagdi caste. So the legend grew up around Holy Mother, 20, 30 years after Sri Ramakrishna passed away, that they referred to Holy Mother as the Bhagdi Mae. Mae means daughter. So she was the daughter of the untouchable. Mm-hmm. Now, this young boy, he was from that caste. But he saw all these great people coming to Holy Mother, and she would take them as her sons, and so he wanted that too. So he came to the mother in the village and said, "Mother, could you initiate me?" And here's where the tamasic knowledge comes in. Krishna organizes everything according to the gunas. So knowledge, what is tamasic knowledge? Basically, there's a word, viparita, means upside down or backwards. If you're looking at something black, you think it's white. Mm-hmm. So what this boy did was he looked at Holy Mother as if she was an uneducated village woman who had caste prejudices because she came from the top caste, the Brahmins. He didn't realize that Holy Mother gave the same advice and counsel to everyone, and usually she would ask, if you already had a family guru, then she would not initiate you, and she wouldn't initiate you if she was feeling sick. So when she was telling this to him, he thought he was being rejected for his caste, and the tears started to swell up in his eyes, but he wasn't going to let Mother see that he was crying because he had his pride. And he said, "That's okay, Mother, I don't need it. I know, you're afraid that if you initiate me, suddenly people, they're going to call you not only the Bhagdi Mae, the daughter of the untouchable, they're going to call you the Bhagdi Ma, you're the mother of the untouchables, and you don't want that." Okay. Well, Mother's heart just overflowed. And she said, "All right, take a bath in the morning and come early and we will see." Now you can imagine if the Divine Mother decides she wants to shed her grace on someone, nothing's going to stand in the way. But Mother has two troublemakers in her family. One is her brother Kali. Well, he gets up the next morning and decides he needs something that's not available in the local market. So he has to go about, be gone for 3-4 hours to the nearest village, Anur, to get this. So he's out of the way. And the other troublemaker is her niece Nalini, who is very fussy about caste prejudices. Nalini suddenly decides that she's not going to take her bath in the Punya Pukur right next to Mother's house. She's going to go to the Banerjee Pukur about 1/2 mile away, and so she's going to be gone for 2 hours. So suddenly, the coast is clear, and you know the rest of the story. Bhagdi Mae became Bhagdi Ma. She was the mother of the untouchable. Now let's move right up the scale of the gunas to the Rajasic boy. He graduated from college. He was a happy-go-lucky, jolly young man. And one day he came to the mother, and he was totally distraught, upset, near tears. And the mother said, "My son, what's the matter?" And he said, "Mother, you should have warned me. You should have told me." And she said, "Well, told you what?" She says, "Well, you knew I was studying to be a lawyer, And I, now that I've taken up my practice, I have to defend robbers, criminals, possibly even murderers. How am I going to lead a dharmic life? Now here's Goddess Saraswati talking to the college graduate. She says one word. She says, it's just Kaj. Kaj is Bengali for karma. She says to him, my boy, it's just a job. It's just a job. She's saying that to all of us. We all think if we have something better, more auspicious, then we will make more progress. But it's just a job. And the mother, I asked my brother Shankar if we could have this picture here of the mother. This special picture, you may see it out here. I have to remove this rose for a second because I want everybody to see the Holy Mother's feet there. This is a picture that I call Mother in the Mud Puddle, because you see her feet are on the ground, in the earth. She's in this mud puddle of the earth with us. You may know, well, maybe you didn't know, but her Holy Mother for her entire life never wore shoes or stockings. She went barefoot her whole life. So that shows the mother in the mud puddle with us. And so you end up with her having just the same kinds of silly predicaments in Maya that we have. Even though she's fully enlightened, she adopts her little niece Radu, and Radu's going to have a baby, and she has a phobia for sound. Any noise is going to drive her crazy. So Holy Mother moves to the jungle in Kualpara with Radu. And there are crows there. And the crows, when they start cawing, it disturbs Radu. So now imagine this, the mother of the universe, what does she have to do? She has to go out and drive the crows away for her nephew. Now, how does she do that? Is she going to throw a rock at a crow? That's absurd. Or is she going to swing? She can't yell at the crow because she'd be making more noise. The idea is that Holy Mother voluntarily moved back in with her family, her brothers, and all the relatives, and she had to live a life just like ours, where she would have to do many things that she felt were really, really silly. So that was the Rajasic son. Now, the Sattvic boy came from a highly cultured Brahmin family, and he was, from his childhood onward, he had faith. He was honest, he was generous, he was loving. Everything ideal about this boy. He came to the mother after he's graduated from college and said, Mother, I'm an only child. My parents have nothing except me to depend upon. What am I going to do? I really want to lead this spiritual life. And the mother said, my boy, look at Sri Thakur. He has married me and I have married him. So why should you be afraid? I bless you with my whole heart that you be married and you will attain all the ultimate success in your life. So once again, a different boy, different problem, but the same divine wisdom. Now, they talk about people who have transcended all the gunas. They're called gunatita. This last incident was from a young boy. His name was Gopesh Maharaj. I met Gopesh Maharaj in Vrindavan when he was about 80 years old. He became a monk and he had the name Sharadeshananda. Sharadeshananda. Now, at this time, he was about 20 years old. He was not a monk, but he knew that in Calcutta, he couldn't see Mother because she was sequestered in the house. But if he came to her village, she was free and easy, and she would talk and eat with the boys. And so he had to go to Jayaramati to have more affection and be with the mother for several days. Well, one night, he went to bed, and in the middle of the night, he heard this scratching sound, and it was a full moon in the courtyard, and he saw Holy Mother out there, some scratching on the ground. What's going on? And he came out and asked her, and she said, oh, nothing, my boy, go back to bed. And she kept doing whatever she was doing, squatting over. And he said, Mother, surely you're doing something, let me help you. And she said, well, this bush at this time of the year, it sheds little thorns. And my bhaktas, when they walk in the courtyard to see me, they can pierce their foot on these thorns. And she said, and I can't stand that. So he said, well, let me help you. And she said, no, you need your sleep. Go back to bed. And so that's what he did. He heard and he saw the mother out there cleaning up, wiping out thorns that are in our path. And so he had that thought. We're not even aware of the fact that the mother is looking out for us, even we are not, when we're not aware of it. And he just laid there on his cot. He couldn't go back to sleep. And he shed tears thinking that this is the kind of mother that we have. The mother herself said, if even a thorn pricks your foot, it feels like a sword has pierced my heart. So those are Holy Mother dealing with five young men. Now, something intriguing about this photo of the Holy Mother. I wish I could be with you in a couple of days when you celebrate the Kalpataru of Sri Ramakrishna. You all know the Kalpataru means the wish-fulfilling tree.
Yeah.
That name was given by a householder, Ramchandra Dutta. Swami Sharadananda said it shouldn't really be called the Kalpataru because Sri Ramakrishna doesn't fulfill all of our wishes, just our spiritual wishes. And he said that should be called freedom from fear. Well, that is something very interesting, and I'm sure you're going to learn about that. But, to my mind, Holy Mother, we actually can think of her as the Kalpataru, and if we look right there, look at several things. Look at the way her hands are like this. I would call that the mudra is a hand. We can talk about mudras, which are sacred hand gestures. The way Holy Mother has her hands there, it's like she is now ready to be the Kalpataru. Her hands are ready to do anything. She's going to reach out and grab the child that comes from the mud puddle and pick that child up on her lap. She's going to clean that child off. She's going to set that child back down if he wants to go back out. And Mother grants all of our desires. She doesn't make such a huge distinction between spiritual desires and other desires. So that is my vision of the mother as a Kalpataru, not just one day a year, but 365 days a year. All right, now let's see. All right, Holy Mother. When she blessed someone, she would say, may you have bhakti. May you have bhakti. So I want to talk a little bit about bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. And paths are very close. First step is shravana, hearing. If you follow the path of knowledge, you're supposed to hear about the Atman. If you follow the path of bhakti, hearing is about Krishna, who says he's the Atman. So that's the same. Now, the second step is called mananam. Then you have to think and think and think about this truth. And then the third step is called nididhyasana, which is samadhi. We don't have to worry about that, because if we take care of the first two, everything's fine. So it's the hearing, the thinking, and the samadhi. But the problem is, the second step, thinking, you never end with the thinking. So instead of that mananam, which goes on and on, so you're like a snake trying to swallow your tail, The bhaktas have come up with a new concept, and that is called dravanam. Dravanam is melting. And this is considered the first step in bhakta, and in bhakti. Remember, before we talked about Holy Mother was helping us move from the solid state to the liquid state? Well, so this concept of melting, where it came from, was a great Bengali saint about 500 years ago, and he quoted a verse from the Bhagavata Purana to help develop this thought of melting of your heart with love. And he used this Sanskrit verse I'd like to translate for you because it's very beautiful. He starts off with the word katam. Katam means how. And he's going to say how four times. And the other important word to hear is vina. Vina means if you don't have something, without something. So the punchline is always the final line, and that is shudhyet bhakta vina ashrayaha. He says, how is the ashraya, the receptacle, the resting place, the heart, how can it ever be purified without bhakti?
Shute Bhaktya Vinashaya. So not Bhakti, how can your heart be purified? Now we back up to the first line, and he says, Katam Vina, without what? Roma Harsham. Roma Harsham means cripple it. You get goosebumps when you hear the name of the Lord. So he says, Katam Vina Roma Harsham. If you don't get goosebumps every now and then, how will your heart be purified? Then he moves on. Dravacha Chetasa Vina, without a Chetasa, a mind that melts. Mm-hmm. Remember the word Dravanam? This is Dravata Chetasa. Without a heart that melts, how will your heart be purified? Now here's the third line, and this is Holy Mother. Vina Ananda Ashru. Ashru are tears. What kind of tears? Ananda Ashru. Without shedding tears of bliss, how will your heart ever be purified? So that is the key concept in bhakti. That is what Mother is doing when she is melting us. And when we see this constantly interplay that you don't see with anyone else, just being with the Mother, her affection overflowing has taken us past that first step of melting. Now we're put in a position of where maybe how can we go from the liquid state to the ethereal, or what we call a gas or a vapor? And that takes us to another thing that the Mother does. And what does she do? She makes chapatis. They're also called rutis in Bengali. We'll call it making chapatis. In order to explain this, I would like to... Not many of you Indian women could explain this better than me, but most of you have been to Indian restaurants. You know what a chapati is. What kind of bread is that called? Flatbread or something? It's round. It's circular. So in order to make this, you have to mix water with flour. You make a dough. And then after the dough is ready, you break off a little piece, like smaller than a golf ball. And you have to press that piece, flatten it out to a disc, and then you put it on and use a rolling pin, and you roll it out till it's about like that, 6 inches. Then what happens when you put it on the griddle or the hot plate, amazing thing, if you didn't know what's going to happen, it blows up like a balloon. What has happened is that the liquid, the water that's mixed in with the solid, it's cooked. And when it cooks, it turns from the liquid to the gas, and that vapor fills up the entire chapati. So that is the symbolism when Holy Mother is making these chapatis. Now, that's just the general... I want to go into the specifics of this now a little bit. By the way, Holy Mother didn't usually mix with men too much, but she had two boys that used to make chapatis with her. And the first one is, you all know, Latu Maharaj Swami mm-hmm. Bhutananda. He's a poor village boy, uneducated, and he may have even been an orphan. I don't know how early he lost his mother. But one day, Sri Ramakrishna was walking out by the Panchavati, and he saw Latu sitting there meditating. He said, "My boy, the goddess you are meditating on is sitting in the Nahabat making chapatis. Please go and help her." And so that was it. Latu went to the Mother and he helped her to make the chapatis. And this may in fact have been the first time that Holy Mother, the first of the many sons that she had. The second boy lived in the village of Jairamati many, many years later, 30 years later. His name was Ramoy Maharaj. He was very short and he was only 17 years old. And he had a high voice like a girl. So he mixed with all the girls and Holy Mother. And one day, there were four of them making chapatis. Holy Mother, and we had the troublemaker Nalini, and then we had Ramoy Maharaj, the boy. I met him when he was 80 years old. He became Swami Gaurishwananda, and he was the head of the Jairamati Ashram. So he was there, and Holy Mother, four of them. The fourth one was a young woman from a different village in Bengal, and she said, "In our village, we have a very special technique where we can make three chapatis at one time while you make one." And so he said, "Oh, how do you do that? Please show me." And she said, "Well, break off your four little chunks and flatten them down. Now you have to sprinkle flour on both sides, just the right amount. So he tried, and if he didn't have enough flour, he'd roll it out and be one big fat chapati, that didn't work. And sometimes they came, instead of a perfect circle, it came out looking like a map of India. And so, but finally he got everything just right, and he was whipping out three chapatis at a time. Then the troublemaker, Nalini, said, Ramoy, look at, he's got such wonderful chapatis he's making, but holy mothers are not so good and not so many. And that holy mother, she said, well, I quit then. I guess you don't need me. I've been making chapatis since this boy was born, and everyone said mine are the best, the most moist. But you don't need me, I'm leaving. And so he begged her, please come back. I don't want to make chapatis without you. So there we were. That's a little bit of the background. Chapatis. Now, you make chapatis with your hands, and I said I was going to talk about what Holy Mother does, and in order to know what she does, she usually does things with her hands. So I want to focus on her hands. And this is where the topic of mudra comes in. The sacred hand gestures that we see. Mother Kali puts her hand up like this, it means it's a mudra. It means freedom from fear. She puts her hand like that, it means accept a boon. Look at the word mudra itself. From mood, we get the word like moda and promoda, which means joy or bliss. Dra, remember we just learned the word dravanam, to melt and to flow? Well, mudra. You have that joy, you direct the currents of the flow. That's the mudra. Now, they can be single-handed, ekahasta mudras, or they can be dvihasta, two-hand, like this Anjali, the most common, when you bow down to someone. Now, I noticed something on several of the pictures of the mother. You don't have it on these pictures here, but she's sitting doing a puja. And I don't know if it's the beginning, the middle, or the end of the puja, but she's sitting here like this, and she has her hands clasped like this. I don't know if everybody can see, but she can clasp her hands like that. And there's a hollow inside of your hands when you do that. And when I'm looking at this picture year after year after year, I'm feeling something. I didn't know what I was feeling. But I would meditate, and sometimes I'd put my hands like that. And finally, I went to the Google Guru to look up mudras. And after a huge search, I was really delighted to find out, wow, this was my Rishi moment, because I discovered something. There is a mudra like this, where you have the hollow space inside of the two hands. And that's called a Samputa or Samputi Mudra. And this means, this is the treasure chest. This is the treasure chest. Now, you can try to experiment with this on your own sometime. There's so many variations you can do. You may suddenly feel that they're not your hands anymore. You may actually feel the mother's hands. And why? How could that be possible? Well, let's look back at the Durga image. If you look at Mother Durga, see on the white statue on the wall there? Ten arms. But every time I look at her image, I find that in order to slay our ego, the buffalo demon, she only needs two hands. She holds her spear like this, one hand, the second hand. Boom, she kills the ego. What do we need the other eight hands for? Well, all of these various things that the mother's doing, setting us down, picking us up, washing us off. But it also means she has an infinite number of hands. And that means she's got a special pair of hands just for us in our heart, if we remember her. And she can, at any time she wants, grab a hold of that little heart of ours. Now, in the Google Guru, they explain that this treasure chest, you can imagine something inside of that like a diamond. Well, that didn't really appeal to me, because I felt with the melting theme going on, the diamond was not smooth like a liquid. So I set that aside. But you could think that when she holds your heart in her hands, you might call that the big squeeze. And with that kind of pressure, she could turn a lump of coal into a diamond. But they also said another way of looking at it is instead of a diamond, it could be like a little sparrow. Mother's holding a very tiny little bird, and your heart is very gentle and soft like that. So this is the mudra leading up to something with that mudra. So I had a friend, and I told him about this, and what I told him was that making the chapatis is actually something that Mother is doing. She's really holding our hearts, and when she takes the flour and the water, when you do this meditation of the Sambhuti, you can only hold that perfect stillness and quietness for a brief period of time, and after a bit of time, you're going to start to feel motion, and the motion you'll feel is your breathing or your heart beating, and you can very well imagine that the Holy Mother herself is, she's the one, the pressure of the Divine Mother is causing our heart to beat every second. So I told it to, and I said that this is very much like making the dough of chapatis. And I told it to my friend, let's call him Rama. He was a very pure-hearted young boy. I told him about this. And I said, you might want to try it if you want. So here's the danger of trying to pretend that you're a guru. I told this to my friend Ram, and he ran into a big problem, because he said when the mother started to knead the dough, to make the dough, and you said I could feel like she's kneading the dough of my heart, I had to yell out to her to stop, stop. And I said, well, why would you say that? And he said, well, I suddenly realized in my heart that there were all kinds of tiny rusty nails, tacks, sand, and gravel, and if Holy Mother were to make the dough, her hands would get cut and would bleed. And I thought, oh my God, what have I done? And fortunately, I was able to realize that there was a solution to this, and I said, you know, what you have to do is you have to empty the wastebasket every morning. Now, if you look in this picture, I don't know if you can see those huge gunny sack back there. Maybe it's full of rice, but for the purposes of what we're talking about, I'm going to say that it's full of flour for making chapatis. And so if you think about when people visited Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, they would bring gifts to a holy man, and the only gifts they would bring would be fruit, flour, rupees, money, or wearing cloths. You never read anywhere where someone bought a bag of flour and just put it down on the feet of the Holy Mother or Sri Ramakrishna. So the solution to this problem is that the mother herself will give you the flour. And if you look in the grocery store, there's a special brand of low gluten flour. It's called lily white. And so we can say that we need that lily white flour that the Holy Mother's got in your storehouse back there. All we have to do is empty out our impure flour of our minds, and then she puts that in, and then we're off. And we can participate in that second thing that the mother does. There's not too much more that I wanted to say. Except when I was in 1972, excuse me, I lived at Panama, and you've all heard of the Shodashi Puja, when Sri Ramakrishna worshipped the Holy Mother in the form of Shodashi, a 16-year-old woman. Well, neither Sri Ramakrishna nor Holy Mother were very good at math, and one of her disciples said she couldn't count beyond 6 or 7. But she actually wasn't a 16-year-old girl, she was a 19-year-old girl, because she was born in 1853, and in 1872, Sri Ramakrishna did this worship. Yes. And I became aware that this was happening in this specific day, Folahadin Kali Puja, in May of 1872. This was done. So I was there at the Belarmat exactly 100 years later, at the 100-year anniversary, and I said, I have come 14,000 miles around Earth. I am not going to miss this. But I kind of asked around very carefully, and I found that from the Belmer Mott, nobody was going. And then I decided I'm not going to ask for permission because they're going to say I can't go. Because if they let me go, they'd have to provide transportation for everybody. And then if I asked them and they said no, then I would have to disobey them, and that wouldn't be good. So but I had to have an accomplice because I needed to be able to find my way back home at midnight, and not speaking Bengali, I'd be in tough shape. So I found the Brahmachari, his name was Bhupesh Maharaj. He came from a Shakta family. Those are worshippers of Shakti, a worshipper of the Divine Mother. I didn't realize this, but a year later he did the puja of Mother Kali at Belmer. So when the sun went down, we wrapped our cloth over our head and we sneaked out the front door of the Belmer. Nobody saw us, and we got on the the Grand Trunk Road that goes all the way to Afghanistan. Starts right there outside the Belmer. We took the bus a couple miles up, went across the Vivekananda Bridge, and we ended up at Dakshineswar, and we went right into the master's room. Now you can imagine where Holy Mother is. Let's pretend we're in Thakur's room right now. It's 20 feet by 20 feet. Holy Mother is sitting right there, and she's looking out west, and you're all in the Ganges River, all of you people. Now, there's a door up there that goes to the Nahabat, and there's a door here that goes to the temple. And right inside this door is a huge water pot. And then Sri Ramakrishna sat this way facing north, and Holy Mother sat just as in that picture to the right. So I pointed this all out to Bhupesh Maharaj, and so we were all alone at that very spot. And I didn't want to sit on that sacred spot, so I backed off. And he backed off, and then we sat there for a while. And I don't know how long it was, but then suddenly a bunch of swamis started showing up from the Ramakrishna Mission in their orange robes. You can tell just by looking at them who they are. So we thought we were going to get caught, so we went back in the corner and pulled our cover over our face, and we could see out, but they couldn't see in. So that is one of my special memories that I think about when we were doing the worship here of the Mother. And the other other two connections, I mean, we are all children of the Mother, but I was fortunate enough to have an initiation in 1971, and my guru had his initiation from the Holy Mother. So, and when you think your guru is your father of your, when you're twice born, Dvija, you can have a paternal grandmother, and in the Bengali language, it just so happens that the paternal grandmother is called the Thakur Ma. So I can legitimately say that I can call Holy Mother in Bengali my Thakur Ma. Oh yes. Since we're talking about the hands, I wanted to say in bhakti, for Westerners, we don't have the concept of the lotus feet. And also sitting on the lap of the Mother, well, if you're a 200-pound man, it's kind of bizarre to think you can sit on the lap of a 100-pound woman. So certain concepts of like the lotus feet, cherishing the lotus feet, and sitting on the lap may not work if it's not part of your culture where you grew up. But there is something that will work, and that was the hands that I was telling you about. And most of you probably are aware, there's a Christian hymn. Back in the 1950s, this was the only gospel song that ever made it to number one on the music charts. And that song is, "He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands." All we have to do is say, "She's got the whole world in her hands." Mm. And that will explain what was going on when she's making them in the chapatis. Now, I guess I should turn to the puja. There was one more remark I wanted to make about Well, I guess I should start the preaching then. I can't. There's one more thing.
Before we start, is there anyone else who wants to sing? I sang to open the puja. I know that Rita is going to sing. Is there anyone else who is planning to sing? All right. Is there a hand back there? You have to raise your hand high. Okay. Who is that here?
Krishna Kali.
It's Krishna Kali, of course. Well, what were you planning to sing?
Can I take you? Ekbar Birajo Ma.
Should we shout that now before we start?
Yes. Please come and please come forward and sing so you'll be on the microphone here.
Let somebody else start to have the keyboard in the car.
Oh.
Can you use this keyboard over here?
Yes, I can use it. Right now?
If you're ready to sing, and you can use that keyboard, then yep. That would be a good thing to do.
I can use the harmonium.
You can use the harmonium as you please. Yes. Yes. You have to find your way. Thank you for being so flexible, dear.
Thank you for the privilege.
Headed with the making of the chapatis. And so I want to take you back to a couple months ago when we did the Durga Puja. We shared a beautiful mantra to Mother Durga. I'll repeat that mantra now, and then we'll add a layer of visualization. This is a very powerful mantra. It has four bijas, and you should try to feel bijas just coalescing. Om for Sri Ramakrishna or Brahman. Hrim, which is the bija of modesty for the Holy Mother or Saraswati. Shrim, prosperity for Mother Lakshmi. And then Dhum, which is the destruction of all evil by Mother Durga. And so, and then we said Durgaye to the Divine Mother Durga, Namaha. So it was Om Hrim Shrim Dhum. Om Rin Shrin Dun Durgaye Namaha. Om Rin Shrin Dun Durgaye Namaha. And it goes on like that. Now, when we make the food offering, when you go to your finer Indian restaurants, they always come and bring you a plate of warm chapatis, freshly made. So we can imagine while we're chanting that mantra, Om, Mother, Holy Mother, Saraswati breaks off a chunk of our heart, and she squeezes it into a little flat disc. And I will have to tell you, this is the only time when our ego gets crushed that it doesn't hurt. It actually feels blissful. Sri Ramakrishna said we're supposed to transform our unripe ego into our ripe ego, but he didn't tell us how to do it. This is another thing, he's showing us how to do it. Shreem, Holy Mother had an ebony rolling pin, Shreem, rolling out that ego a little bit further after she's pressed it. Doom, Durgaya, where's the fire that we're going to cook the chapati? We don't have enough fire in our hearts. But here's the answer to the question everybody wanted to ask. You all heard about how Mother did the panchatapa? She sat, five, pancha means five, tapa fires. She had a square 5 feet on the side, and at each corner there was a fire. The fifth fire was the sun up top. For 5 days she sat in that square of fire and absorbed all of that. And so everybody wondered, why did Holy Mother have to do that? Now, if we think that she is the oven and she's taking all of our egos, all of our hearts, she's flattening them out, she's making chapatis, warm chapatis, and we can only repeat that Om Hari Shrim Dhim Durgaye Namah, how we see the process of our ego being crushed and being rolled out and finally baked. And the solid became the liquid, became the gas, became the air. That was what I wanted. I didn't want to leave the loose end. So now I feel better. I can start the puja with your permission. Again, back to my Catholic upbringing.
Pavitro, pavitro, vana. You may be impure, or you may be pure.
Sarvavastavitopiva, whatever condition we are in. Yasmare pundarika akshara, whoever remembers the goddess whose eyes are beautiful like lotuses. Subahya vyantara shijiri, that person is pure inside and out. Now we are all going to focus on purifying our bodies, our gross body and sense organs, and then our subtle body, the mind, the intellect, until we can identify with the body that all bhaktas have. Sri Ramakrishna said it's called your true spiritual body, your Bhagavati Tanya. First prayer is to Lord Narayana, asking for his help in performing our puja properly. Om Sarvamangalamangalyam Varenyam Varadam Shubham Narayanam Namaskritya Sarvakarmani Karaye. Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Surayaha Divi Vachakshuratatam. Ite gandhi pushpe adhara shaktaye namaha. This flower has been offered to the mother as the adhara, the container. Ite gandhi pushpe kurmaya namaha. This flower is being offered to mother as kurma, the support of all beings. Ite gandha pushpe anantaya namaha. This offering is to mother who is without end. Ite gandha pushpe prithivpyoi namaha. This offering is to mother as our mother earth. Ite gandha pushpe prakrityai namaha, and this offering is to Mother Nature. We now call upon seven sacred rivers of India, who are seven goddesses. Om Ganga Chajamane Choeva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sinduka Veri Jalesin Sannidin Kuru. Sarpantu te bhuta. Let all evil beings depart from here. Ye bhuta bhuvi samstita. All the evil spirits that are on this earth. Ye bhuta vigna kartaras. The evil spirits that cause problems for us. Te nashantu shiva agnaya. Let them be destroyed by the power of Lord Shiva. This next prayer is to our Mother Earth to purify the asana, the seat where we do our meditation and worship. Om Prithvi Tvaya Drita Loka. O Mother Earth, you support all of these worlds. Devi Tvam Vishnuna Drita. O Goddess, you yourself are supported by Lord Vishnu. Tvam Chadarayamam Nityam. Please support me all the time. Pavitram Kuruchasanam. And please purify this seat of worship. Shatabhisheka hum fat swaha. Pushpe, pushpe, maha pushpe, supushpe, pushpa sambhave, pushpa choya vakirne cha hum fat swaha. Now we're going to salute all of our gurus. Om Gurupyo Namaha. We salute our Guru. Om Parama Guru Pyo Namaha. And we salute the teacher of our Guru. Om Paraha Paraguru Pyo Namaha. And we salute that teacher's Guru as well. Om Parameshi Guru Pyo Namaha. We salute the Supreme Lord who is the Guru of the universe. Gam Ganeshaya Namaha. The hymn to the Guru. Om Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The Guru is the Lord Brahma, Guru is the Lord Vishnu, the Preserver, and Guru is the great God Shiva. The Guru is indeed the veritable, visible Brahman, therefore we salute the Guru. Akanda mandala karam vyaptam yena characharam tatpadam darshitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. The Guru is like an unbroken wheel. He pervades all beings, movable and immovable. He it is that points out the way to the supreme goal. Therefore, we salute the Guru. Mannata Sri Jagannato. My Lord is the Lord of the universe. My Guru, Sri Jagat Guru. And my Guru is the Guru of the universe. Mamatma Sarva Bhutatma. Myself has become the Self in all beings. Tasmoi Sri Gurave. Next, we are going to have two meditations. The first meditation will be on Sri Ramakrishna. This is a three-verse stotra, hymn of praise. The first verse describes his transcendental nature. The second verse, his divine nature. And the third verse, his compassionate human nature as an avatar. It is recommended that we close our eyes in this meditation and try to visualize a light in your heart. Om Hridaya Kamala Madhye, in the lotus of the heart, Rajitam, he shines, Nirvikalpam, beyond all thought, beyond all imagination, Sada Sada Kila Beda, all differences such as being or non-being, Otita, he's beyond that, Ekaswarupam, he is the one true being, Prakriti Vikriti Shunyam, he is devoid of all the modifications of nature. Nityam Anandamurti, his body is pure eternal bliss. Vimala Paramahamsam, to that pure swan, Ramakrishnam Bhajamaha, we adore Sri Ramakrishna. Nirupamam Atisukshmam, beyond compare, extremely subtle. Nishprapancham, beyond the sense organs and the sense objects. Niriham, he accomplishes everything without moving a finger. Gagana sadrisham isham, the Lord is like the sky. Sarvabhuta divasam, he is the primordial dwelling place of all beings. Vimala paramahamsam, Ramakrishnam bhajamaham. Vitaritum avatirnam, he came down to earth to distribute. Nana bhakti prashantihi, supreme peace, which comes to us in the form of knowledge and devotion. Pranoya galita chittam, his heart melts with affection. Jiva dukha sahishnu, because he cannot bear to see any living being suffer. Drita sahaja samadhi, effortlessly he abides in samadhi. Chinmoyam komalangam, he is pure awareness and the most gentle of all beings. Vimala paramahamsam, Ramakrishnam bhajamaha. Now, this next meditation is on the Holy Mother, and in this case, we are encouraged to keep our eyes open and gaze at that picture, which is called the worship picture of the Holy Mother. This was the second photograph that was ever taken, and it was because of her Western disciple, Mrs. Ollie Bull, that she was able to uncover herself from the veil and allow that picture to be taken. So this is a description of the human form of the mother that we're seeing in that photo right there. Four verse stotra. We'll do the English first so you can have a better idea of what we chant.
Meditate on the mother seated on the heart lotus, tranquil and full of grace, her face serene. The two-armed goddess gazes with steady eyes.
Dhyaye chitta sarojaspam sukhasinam kripamoyim prasanna vadanam devi dvibhujam stilalochanam.
Her hair cascades to her waist, adorning the right side of her body. Her left side is covered with a white cloth. The gold bracelets of Sita adorn her arms.
Allayita keshara vakshastalavimanditam shweta vasprabritardangam hemalankarabhushitam.
Her hands rest on her lap, ready to bestow knowledge and devotion. Effulgent pure light, she dissolves the wages of sin.
Swakrodanyastahastam cha jnana bhakti pradayinim shubram jyotirmoyim jiva papa santapaharinim.
Her life is merged in Sri Ramakrishna, and she lives to hear his name. She embodies all his divine moods. The mother of the universe is her true form.
Ramakrishna gata pranam tannam shravana priyam tad bhavaranjita karam jagan matri swarupinim. Pavitram charitam yasya.
Her character was pure.
Pavitram jivanam tata.
Her life was pure.
Pavitrata swarupinyoi.
She is the embodiment of all purity.
Tasyoi kurmo namo namaha.
Therefore, we bow down to the Holy Mother. And now we have the ahvanam, the invitation. We're going to invite Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother to join us for our worship. Sri Ramakrishna Deva, Sri Sarva Devi, Iha Gacha, please come here, please come here. Iha Tishta, please stay here with us, please stay with us. Iha Sannidehi, may we feel your presence nearby. Presence in your body. Iha sannirudhyasva, iha sannirudhyasva. Please do not leave us, please do not leave us. Iha sannihito bhava, iha sannihito bhava. Please be all around us, remain all around with us. Atra adhisthanam kuru, you are the presiding deity of our worship. Mama pujam grihana, so please accept our puja. Shaganda, Sarva Deva Devi, Suri Pinyoy, Sri Sharada Devyoy, Namaha. Oh Mother, we offer you this fragrant sandal paste as a sign of our sincerity and purity of heart. Om Oim Idam Sachandana Pushpam Sarva Deva Devi Swarupinyoy Sri Sharada Devyoy Namaha. O Mother, we offer you this flower as a token and a symbol that we are offering you our hearts today. Sarva Deva Devi Surupinyoy Sri Sharada Devyoy Namaha. We offer this fragrant incense to you. May it be a reminder to us of your sweet presence everywhere we go in life. Mother, we offer you this light, asking that you be the light of our life and the light in our hearts.
Vam itasmoi sopakaranaya annaya namaha. Yam ram vam oim 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 oim. Om Oim Idam Sopakarana Noi Vedyam Sarva Deva Devi Surupinyoi Sri Sharana Devyoi Nivedayami. Om Brahmarpanam Brahmavir Brahmagnu Brahmanahutam Brahmoevatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadina. Hari Om Tat Sat. Om Amritopastara Namasi Swaha. Om Pranaya Swaha. Om Apanaya Swaha. Om Vyanaya Swaha. Om Udanaya Swaha. Om Samanaya Swaha.
Tadiyana re, tadiyana re, tadiyana re. So I'm going to sing this song called Sharade Jaya Sharade, and the meaning is glory and victory to Mother Sharda, who resides in our speech, who is the embodiment of knowledge, who is the mother of all Vedas.
She's got the whole world in her
hands. In her hands, she's got the whole world. In her hands, she's got the whole world. In her hands, she's got the whole world. In her hands,
she's got the sun and the moon.
In her hands, she's got the sun and the moon. In her hands, she's got the sun and the moon. In her hands, she's got the whole world. In her hand, she's got you and me, brother. In her hand, she's got you and me, sister. In her hand, she's got the whole world in her hands.
She's got the little bitty babies.
In her hand, she's got the little bitty babies. In her hand, she's got the little bitty babies. In her hand, she's got the whole world in her hands.
Sharada Devi, in her hands,
Sharada Devi, in her hands, Sharada Devi, in her hands,
she's got the whole world in her hands. She's got Rama Krishna,
in her hands, she's got Rama Krishna, in her hands, she's got Rama Krishna, in her hands, she's got the whole world in her hands.
She's got everyone in this room.
In her hand, she's got everyone in this room. In her hand, she's got everyone in this room.
In her hand, she's got the whole world in her hands.
Amen.
Om Pidanamasi Swaha. Idam panato dukam sarva deva devi swarupaya shri sharada devyoi namaha. Idam punara chamaniyam sarva deva devi swarupinyoi shri sharada devyoi namaha. Om oim idam panat tambulam sarva deva devi swarupinyoi shri sharada devyoi namaha. Sachandana Pushpam Srimat Swami Vivekanandaya Namaha. Om Oim Esha Sachandana Pushpa Patranjali Sangaya Savaranaya Sashaktikaya Sabhaktaya Sarva Deva Devi Swarupaya Sri Ramakrishnaya Sarva Deva Devi Swarupinyai Sri Sharada Devyai Voshata. This is our final offering of flowers to Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother on behalf of all of her children everywhere. Om sthapakaya cha dharmasya sarva dharmas swarupine avatara varishtaya ramakrishnaya te namaha. O Lord, you came down to earth to establish dharma. You are the embodiment of religion. You are the best of avatars. We salute thee. Yatagnir dahika shakti Ramakrishna stita hisa sarva vidya swarupam tam sharadam pranamamyaham. Just as the power of fire to burn always resides in the fire, similarly does Mother, who is sarva vidya swarupam, the embodiment of all knowledge, ever abide in Sri Ramakrishna. We'll sing one last stotra to the Divine Mother as Narayani. In the first verse, she is all good and the granter of boons. The second verse, she's recognized as the Shakti in creation. In the third verse, she is the shelter for all who take refuge at her feet. Om Sarva Mangala Mangalye Shive Sarta Sadike Chanye Tyambake Gauri Narayani Namostute Srishti Stiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Gunashraye Gunamayi Narayani Namostute Sharana Gatati Narta Paritranam Arayane Sarvasyati Hare Devi Narayani Namostute Jaya Narayani Namostute Jaya Narayani Namostute Jaya Narayani Namostute Jaya Narayani Namostute Jai Shri Guru Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Mahamai Ki Jai Jai Swamiji Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Raja Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Bhagavata Bhakta Bhagavan Ki Jai Jai Mata Shri Sharada Mani Devi Ki Jai.
All right, now we'll have a flower offering. Thank you.
Plate on the right, put in the on the plate in the left.
So has everyone offered a flower? Why don't you go? Thank you. Can someone run along and open the doors for her, please?
I will.
All right, now we'll take our prasad lunch.
Yes.
Thank you so very much again for coming this morning. And it's been a wonderful experience to share this worship with the mother. Dhruva asked for Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother's presence. I think we understand and feel that they are with us. So let us go and take their bounty as their gift to us, the prasad.